I refreshed my page. My $1,200 is now worth $5,000. So, I go from making $100 in a few days to making $300 in one day to making, what's that, $3,000-$4,000 in 15 minutes. You can't tell me nothing.
Hey, what's going on? It's your host, Tolu Oyemi, doing the most. Let's get to it. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at TOLU.OWOYEMI. Now, back to the episode.
Hey, what's going on? My mastermind is your kid, Tolu, right here. I'm with, you know, stock market analyst, specialist, author, you know, vegan entrepreneur specialist, Blackamore, man. Blackamore, welcome to the show.
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
Nah, man, I appreciate it because there's so much going on. There's so much information that's passing people's heads. And I especially love the fact that, you know, your freedom over failure, your courses, but, you know, especially like your stock market expertise. And, you know, just before the show began, you know, I was telling Blackamore, like, how did you get into it? Because you don't see too many brothers talking about the stock market. But yeah, Blackamore, let's go ahead and break that down for us.
All right. So, you know, when I was about 7 years old, so this would put us in the mid 90s. And this is when the stock market was kind of doing what it is today, just going up through the roof nonstop. Everybody and your mama, yo, we got to get on stocks. And my uncle had mentioned stocks to me, or not to me directly, but to his family, my mom and them. Like, yo, if you put some money in the stock market and you come back a little later, you'll be a millionaire. This random memory stayed in my mind. I don't even know why I remember it. They talked about a lot that day, but that stuck in my mind. So later on in life, I'm like a teenager at this point, and I'm watching CNBC, and I'm seeing all the richest people in the world are all dealing with the stock market, and I'm seeing the lifestyle that they live in. Like, I remember it was this dude from Connecticut, and he had so much money that his sidewalks was heated up in the wintertime and all that. Like, barefoot if you want it. So I'm looking at that, and then I'm saying, like, you know, the environment I was in, you know, they just worked for money and they never invested in nothing like that. That wasn't a lifestyle I wanted to live. I want my sidewalks heated up. So that got me into the stock market world. So it was a point in time where I got this job and it was a lot of free time so I could Google. This is kind of when Google first kind of started popping too. So Google, that memory of my uncle saying that popped in my mind, you know, if you invest in stocks, you'd be rich. So I'm just Googling how to get in the stock market and what to do. I'm Googling everything. I would do my little work because it's like data entry. So I enter my little information. I type fast as hell. And I spend like the last 3 hours just Googling things. As long as you got your work done, the job didn't care. Mm. So I ended up took my first $500, right?
Wow, okay.
Put into the market. I bought some Pepsi stock. Fortunately or unfortunately, a few days later, it jumps up 20%. So I make $100 just like that. This is the first time I made that type of money without having to trade my time for it or breaking the law. This is a new concept.
That's like a taste right there. You got a taste of that cocaine, like a little drug, a little rush right there. Yeah,
like, I just made this money. I didn't have to work for nobody. I didn't have to risk my freedom for it. Yo, I got to figure, because when I went into it, I wasn't expecting to make money that fast. I already knew, like, it's a long-term thing. But I said, y'all got this money kind of fast. There's got to be a way to manufacture that on purpose. This is where it happens with a lot of newcomers. They can get addicted to that fast money. So once you try to look how to do that, you're going to end up in the realm of penny stocks and option trading. Now, you could be successful in this world, but that takes a certain type of personality type. 90%+ of us, we don't have that personality type. And we'll confuse that with investing for the long term like Warren Buffett and them do. So now I'm in the world of penny stocks. These are stocks that are worth it.
Could you break that down a little bit? You said like 90, because that's such a deep statement. You said 90% of us. So are you talking about like how they said like when people get greedy, you should be scared, and like when people are scared, you should, are you talking about like because a lot of people are emotional, 90% of people are emotional. So like, break that down.
Yeah, so like we have this thing called the stock market, right? But within the stock market, it's like a platform. But there's different sports you can play on this platform. Like even like with basketball, play a regulation game, you have a dunk contest, you have a 3-point contest. Some people are going to be better at certain things than others. You know, if you don't know how to shoot, you probably shouldn't be in a 3-point contest. If you ain't got hops, you shouldn't be in a dunk contest. That's so short-term trading, like with option trading and penny stocks, which is where a lot of new people like myself at the time get into, that's like the dunk contest. But most of us don't have a 40-inch vertical. Most of us got a regular old 25-inch vertical. We don't have no business trying to, you jump up, you hurt yourself. So
that's right.
So
and you retire after that, you say, this ain't it.
And this stock market ain't none. This is a scam. It's for the Illuminati and for rich white people. So you got to have a certain personality type for that. So I'm in the penny stock world. I'm like, yo, so if this stock is worth 1 cent a share, all I got to do is go up to 2 cents and I'll double my money. Makes sense theoretically. So, you know, I go on the streets, I do my thing, I come back, I put $900 into the stock, into this penny stock, and then I made $300 overnight, so now it's worth $1,200. This happens overnight. I go from waiting a few days to make $100 to now I make $300 in just one day. I say, oh man, I done figured out life.
For college. This is it right here.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'll start making finance. I'm like, yo, if I just keep doing this, I'll be a millionaire within a year or two. So I do it again. I put the whole $1,200 into this other penny stock. These are stocks. When I say penny stocks, I'm talking about stocks that's not even worth one penny. They're like worth a half a penny.
Wow. So
I put the whole $1,200 into this one penny stock. I don't remember what the ticket symbol was. I think it was worth like 0.006 cent. And I'm watching movies. I remember I was at my mom's house and I was watching one of them judge shows, like Judge Judy or Judge Joe Brown or something.
Yeah.
During a commercial break, I watch the show. It comes to another commercial break. So no more than 10 minutes go by. I refreshed my page. My $1,200 is now worth $5,000. So, I go from making $100 in a few days to making $300 in one day to making, $3,000 to $4,000 in 15 minutes. You can't tell me nothing. But that was the last of my good luck. But you know what I'm saying? So I didn't make that. I started making plans. I'm like, yo, I'm about to do this, I'm about to do that. Yeah, I call my job. Look, y'all, like, you know what I'm saying? I got my whole life set now.
Yeah, you got the whole blueprint.
The whole blueprint. Now, for the next few years, I won here and there, but for every one win that I got 10, 15 losses. Long story short, I spent like the next 5-6 years. I probably blew through almost $100,000 of losing money because I'll blow my account. I'll go back in the streets, do what I got to do to make my money, put every dollar back into it outside of my own living expenses and lose it. And I basically had like a gambling problem at this point. So then it gets to a point, I was on Yahoo Finance and I just happened to look over and see Apple and Ulta Beauty Store. And I noticed the prices of those was way higher than it was when I first got in the market some years ago. And I said, damn, if I wasn't so busy trying to be greedy and if I just put my money in there with a little bit that I started, not only would I still have that money, I would have 10x, 15x my money if I'd have just let it sit there and grow. And I just...
You know, it's so crazy you're saying that because I think you basically have gone through what, like, hundreds of thousands of people have gone through, because you're saying that like the option trading and the penny stocks, because a lot of times when you're on the gram, like on social media, you know, these cats be coming out like with cars and talking about like how they, you know, with the Robinhood app and showing you the option trade and playing. So they show you all the wins. They never show you any of the losses. But what you're saying is that when you, after going through all of that and the losses, you looked at Apple and Ulta Beauty and you were like they were maybe at like $100 to $150. Now they're at like $300 or so. They're like, they're on the up and up.
Yeah, it was more than that because Apple,
wow,
it was like 10, 15 times what it was just a few years ago. And I'm like, yo, if I'd have just had some patience, because what has been trying to get that overnight, what has that gotten me? Besides just grief and depression, and, you know, it was bad. So, and that's why, like, I see things today, I see this happening today with, like, everybody wants to get in the stocks, they take the same path, and it's like, no, black do that, so hopefully you don't have to go through that. Like, I know how this works, and it's a small amount.
Break it down.
You know what I'm saying?
Break it down. Yeah.
And I've been able to, now going through that, I've been able to develop the emotional discipline, so I'll trade here and there, but it's still just here and there. I don't dedicate my whole life to, I'll do literally 2 or 3 trades a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because another thing that they don't tell you about short-term trading, number one, it's inevitable that 99% of these companies are trash because you're just trying to make a quick flip. So automatically, you're not investing. It's speculation. And a big flaw is sometimes you'll hear people say, yo, I'm about to make a lot of money in this stock. I'm going to buy it today and sell it by Thursday. But then you're telling me about all the things that the company is going to do 5 years from now. Why would you be concerned about that if you're going to get out in a couple days anyway? Logically,
they're just there for the money.
You're just there for the money real quick. And if that's your thing, you got to look at a whole different set of information. Who cares what they're doing in a few years? It's pure human psychology. So you got to know how to break down a chart. They call it technical analysis, and they'll tell you about these different patterns and all that. But it's really way more intuitive than that. And you almost can't even teach it because it's so intuition based. It's things that your subconscious picks up from experience. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of hard.
Isn't that day trading? It's day trading, right?
Yeah, day trade, any type of short-term trade. Anything I say that's 3 months or less.
Yeah.
Trade. And the less time you give yourself, the more risk you put. Like, you want time on your side. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to go in against you. Especially options, because, you know, options expire. You know, if you're not months, let's say February right now. Let's say you got an option that expires in May. You might have been right in June, but your option is already worthless because your time is out. So now it's zero. You know? Pay attention to.
Okay, so man, I think you painted everybody's GameStop, man. Like, that's a huge buzzword. Even my people that don't know nothing about the stock market talking about, you see what's going on with this GameStop, you know, and like, okay, so what happened? Because from what we heard, it was like a bunch of like Reddit guys came together off an online forum. And they were just like, yo, we finna get back at the institutes and the big players in the game.
Yeah, so I have a conspiracy theory about that. If you ask me, I mean, that's what you're doing.
That's right.
It's somebody who we don't know, somebody lurking behind the shadows, who probably has beef with, it was a short seller named Stephen Cohen who was shorting the stock, which means they're betting on GameStop to go down. It's my name, Stephen Cohen. I forget the other dude's name, and then you have Citron and Muddy Water. These are four of the biggest people who are betting on GameStop to go down. I believe whoever started it had beef with them, and they utilized the community on Reddit to fulfill their own agenda. Because for the price to move up like that, I'm not certain how deep that community is, but it takes a lot of money, a whole lot.
He's smart. That's smart, and that makes sense because GameStop price is supposed to continuously go down because you have Netflix, you have these online, like the business, GameStop's business model is basically outdated. So the price was supposed to continuously drop. It's like Blockbuster, you know, Netflix kind of transformed that whole business model. So you are right, to be able to, like, how can a bunch of guys that don't really know each other like that really make that much of an impact? Somebody
Had
to be.
It ain't got enough money. Even all of them put together, like, that takes tens of billions of dollars to push a stock up, to move a stock like that. Like, a bunch of college dudes or whoever's on Reddit, I mean, it might pop for a minute like AMC did or like Nokia did. It might pop for a minute, but to go from $15 to $350, yo.
How does that happen? So they start... Once you start buying shares of the stock, and then that causes the price, the value of the stock to rise.
Yeah, so it's basic supply and demand, right? And in this situation actually highlights a flaw in the stock market system because, you know, even as well versed in the stock market as I am, I honestly can't tell you every single intricate detail of how things work. But here's a example of a flaw, right? So for those of you who may not be familiar with short selling, right? Like I say, short selling is when you bet on a stock to go down. It works how you borrow somebody else's shares and you sell it first in hopes that the price lowers and then you can buy it back at a cheaper price and you keep the spread, right? So you can see how many shares is bet against by looking at something called short interest. So let's say a company has, just for simple math, 100 shares out to buy or to sell. Let's say I think the stock is going to go down. I say I'll bet against 50 of those shares. I'm going to short 50 of the shares. So that means I borrow it, I sell it. Hopefully, I buy it back at a cheaper price. So that short interest number, mathematically and in theory, shouldn't be past 100%. You shouldn't be able to bet against more shares that exist. But the interest of GameStop was like 140%. So there were shares that didn't exist that was bet against. So because of that, it didn't take quite as much money to drive the price forward. Now, this is what happens. Your broker, you know, banks and brokers, they don't want to take no L's on you, right? So if you short sell, theoretically, you could lose an unlimited amount of money because the price can go up forever. If you got to buy it back at the market. Yeah, you know.
You're going to be in trouble like that.
You know, but if you short, it can go up forever. Brokers are like, okay, we ain't going to have that. So what we're going to do is if it gets to a certain point, we're just going to buy it back for you to cut the losses so we don't get too crazy. But with that, when that happens, that pushes the price up more. So not only is people coming in to buy it because they're trying to get back at the rich guys, then you got brokers like, yo, we got to get out of this position, buy those shares back. So now you got Reddit and you got Ameritrade and Robinhood and all of them buying the shares back too, so they don't take a crazy L. And that's what you call a short squeeze. And that's why go up like that. I think that's happened to Tesla before, because a lot of people used to short Tesla. That happened to Volkswagen. This is the biggest thing since Volkswagen back in the day. You know what I'm saying? So that's called a short squeeze. Now, what needs to happen, because I see they was talking about things like they need to make it to where average people like me and you can't get on there unless they get licensed and all this crazy shit. That's crazy to me. What they need to do is make it to where you can't short more shares that's available. Like, that was the real flaw. If that wasn't the case, that GameStop thing wouldn't have happened. I mean, it would have happened, but it wouldn't have been like it was. It would have been just like AMC and Nokia and what else was doing it? Bed Bath & Beyond and
BlackBerry too as well. Yeah.
That didn't make crazy news like that. It popped for a minute and then it came back down like it was supposed to. But GameStop was crazy because it was more shares short than existed.
So that phenomenon, right, of there being more shares shorted than existed, that's the human side of it, right? That's like where human beings come in, because there was so much attention being drawn to it that it created, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but it created that like artificial scarcity.
Well, the scarcity was already existed before the Reddit and all that shit took place. Like, it should have never been Steve Cohen and Muddy Waters and all them. There shouldn't have been enough shares for them to go around to be able to short. So once it did get to Reddit and all of them, that's what made it go up like that. And then so they had to cover their position and things like that. But that whole situation was, it was there. And I don't think GameStop is the only stock like that. And so for those of you who are watching this for trading, because I know some people's gonna be hard-headed, even though I say probably shouldn't want to do it. But then some of you may be successful, because there are less than 10% of you who are equipped. But finding short squeezes, do like how them people did. They went and they found companies that was heavily shorted. See if you can find some where it's like 98% or over 100% of them shares short. And if you got the power to have some influence, say, hey, let's come over here, buy this stock. It's almost inevitable you're going to make money if you get in and out at the, you know what I'm saying, quick enough. Just understand, yeah, you're playing a different game than me and Warren Buffett and them is playing. We boring. We just like to look at the numbers and the sales and just sit back and chill. You know, I have some fun every once in a while, but, you know. Yeah.
I like Warren Buffett because his strategy makes sense. I think his three tips is like, invest your money, 2, don't lose money, and 3, don't forget rule number 2 or something like that. And I remember I read him while I did a short bit in jail, tap dancing to work. And in it, he talks about like how he built, he like borrowed like $10,000 from like his cousins or something like that, family, friends, and then he went to go invest that. And that time back in the days, he bought like Geico and like, I think it was Coca-Cola. Like, he just bought like some of the early shares of like some of these huge companies that we're looking at now. But to everyday Joe, like, you know, that is looking to get into the stock market, like, how should they navigate? Should they just start buying shares of companies? Like, I think the question people have in their mind is like, which company do I choose and how many shares should I buy?
Yeah, so it actually could be very, very simple. Very, very simple. We make it complicated. Funny, I just did a webinar not too long ago, and the thing that they said they didn't get from, I went over it, it's just such a simple step. People, it's like, it can't be that that easy. They're like, yo, how did you start it? Just open up an account. That's it. If you know how to open up a bank account, you know how to open up a brokerage account. I say use Ameritrade or Fidelity because they more built for this. Like with Robinhood, they didn't have, they more vulnerable. They didn't have the capital to sustain all them orders that was coming through. That's why a lot of people lost money. They did this with this, and they did it with coronavirus back in March. This happened twice. I keep telling people about Robinhood. But anyway.
No. That's good. Let's say that, because I've been seeing social media posts and everybody. So you're saying like, yo, we leaving Robinhood, yo. Everybody get on school bus. We going to Ameritrade. And which one did you say?
Ameritrade, Fidelity, E-Trade. I say those because they've been around. You know what I'm saying? They had enough time to build up the capital. They know how this thing works. They've been through other short squeezes and crashes. Robinhood and Webull, they just knew. I'm not saying they scams or nothing like that, but they still wet behind the ears. So when crazy things happen, especially if you're a trader, it wouldn't be as dangerous for somebody like me, because I wouldn't have cared. I would have just, you know, I don't need to get my money out right then and there. I don't want to put my life savings in a position to where I need to make a decision in seconds or it's gone. You know what I'm saying?
I feel sorry for those people, man.
Man, it's people who's thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So if you're going to be a trader, I wouldn't deal. I know it's convenient, it's very intuitive and user friendly and all of that, but we're talking about your money here. It's like serious amount. Now, if you want to play with a couple hundred dollars, fine. But when you start playing with the big boys, E-Trade, Ameritrade, Fidelity, there's a couple others, but those are the main three I'm familiar with. So I would say deal with them. You know, they have the capital. Now, I know they had to shut down too, but that's because it just really got that crazy. You really have an option at that point. But they're going to have the capital on debt because everything is based off of credit and having a certain amount of reserves. And Robinhood and Webull, they kind of, they doing things at the bare minimum because they're just getting started. They're still trying to grow. Yep. Plus, you know, they wasn't charging fees. So how you think they was getting your money? By that, selling your information to hedge funds so they could beat you at the trading game. But at that point, this is another reason why I say, I don't know if you want to be trading like that. The whole purpose Robinhood has you on there so these hedge funds can study your thing. Because trading could be like a zero-sum game. Everybody can make money investing because we're not all going to cash out at the same time. Because if everybody sold all their stocks today, only 10% of us is going to get our money. Because 90% of this shit don't exist. Same thing if we all go to the bank. If we all go to the bank to withdraw our money, only an X amount of us going to actually get our money because the bank can lend out more money than it actually has. So it's best to do long-term things so you know everybody's not trying to do everything at once. And that's something that's a trading game.
Man, all them years you said you took them losses. Nah, you didn't take long, man. You on some Professor X with this knowledge over here. You broke down the banking industry, breaking down the stock market industry, man. But, you know, the question too, man, because I feel like, man, you bring so much to the table, especially in understanding a lot of these aspects. Now, we hear a lot of people talking about, like, generational wealth and, you know, passed down the investments. So, boom, I open up an account. I'm like, all right. I heard Blackamore. He said, open up. How do I choose and how many shares should I buy?
All right. I just look at it in terms of money. So however much money you have, that's how you determine the shares. Me personally, I look at investing in stocks. That's my savings account. I don't believe in having a savings account. That's a waste of time and money. Nobody at the bank. They give you less than 1% back, but meanwhile, they get to loan it out at 5% interest and things of that nature. You're not winning. And then on top of that, with inflation, your money's losing 3% a year. So it's going to, you put in $100 this year, but by next year, you're going to need $103 to buy that $100 product because that's the price it was a year ago. But now today it's $103. You're losing. That's the automatic loss. People scared to invest in the stock market that's historically went up. But they don't mind staying in cash, which historically went down. But anyway.
Man, I think y'all need to hear this again. Your bank is, if you put $100 in the bank at the end of the year, they could give you a couple of dollars. Probably not even more than like a dollar or two of them. However, the price of everything generally is going up, which is true. But that stock market, you can get a 5, 6, 7. I mean, depending on what stock you decide, you can flip that and get double amount of money that you put into it. Like, what bank is going to do that for you? None.
Yeah, because that's not the business model. So, and the thing is this, like we just said, the prices of everything goes up. Who owns these products and services that are increasing in prices? These businesses who have stocks that you could buy ownership into. Ain't no sense of complaining about McDonald's took the dollar menu away and now the McDouble is $2 now. You could have bought the McDonald's stock and then you don't even mind paying the extra money because it's coming back to you anyway because you got shares. But anyway, so I treat my stock account as a savings account. So whatever you would save, that's what I put in it. You know what I'm saying? You know, rule of thumb though, I say is 10% of what you make, 10% of whatever you bring home, dedicate that to your stock account. And some people are more conservative than me and they still want to have the savings account. That's fine. So put 10% in your savings.
I think savings account is like liquid, right? So it's like, boom, something happens. Like, yo, you got to have that liquid crack. Because how fast can you withdraw money from the stock? It's like, oh, we got to wait 3 to 5, you know, business days or,
So what I do, if it's money I don't feel like I'm going to need in the next 3 months, I put it up. If I'm telling me the next 3 months, checking or something like that. But yeah, but the stocks is damn near as liquid as cash. You made a week tops, you have to wait. Sometimes that same day or the next day, because a lot of like Ameritrade, they'll give you a bank card. So like the moment you sell your stocks, you don't even have to transfer it to your bank. You can just swipe it and it comes straight from
your
bank.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? Or you can hit that. Okay. You don't know all that.
Man, y'all getting life hacks over here, man. Blackamore over here dropping gems. Y'all need to go get this course right now. Everything you need to know about stocks and how to build wealth, plus the stock market ebook. But okay, so I like that fact too as well. You can have your car. I mean, you gotta be disciplined though, because you know how people be when they have a car in their hand.
That's not a credit card now. But now I don't recommend this for everybody, but sometimes, like, cause like I said, I use my stock account as a savings account, and sometimes maybe I need some money for some a serious purchase I have coming up, but I don't want to interrupt the growth of my account. You can just borrow against it, because the interest is going to be, it's a lower interest than the amount that your account is growing at. So the interest that they charge you, your account grows faster than what they're going to charge you to do it back. So you don't have to interrupt your account growth. You could just borrow against it, pay it back. Your stock portfolio is not touched. Because I've been in situations, I would think of stocks as a form of income. That's something that we do. It's not a form of income. It's capital appreciation. That means you put your money there without the intention of thinking this is going to pay your bills next month. No. This is fuck you money, like Dr. Boyce Watkins said. This is so when...
Man, is that true, brother?
Like, you can say, well, fuck you. I got enough reserves over here. I'll find something else where I can build my own thing. You know what I'm saying? So that's how you do that. And a lot of times, like I said, you don't want to always interrupt your growth. So that's another option. If you don't want to cash out, you just borrow against it, pay it back. Your stocks kept on growing in the meantime.
And you know what's so interesting? You just mentioned Boyce Watkins, and he's kind of like a financial / life / literacy coach, you know, especially to the Black community and, you know, anybody who's willing to lend a listening ear. So is that, you know, automatically I heard you saying that, that's like, okay, we know he on another level. Now, you also have author, you know, inside of your a bio, and it's interesting because you wrote a book called Everything You Need to Know About Stocks. For now, again, this is another thing, I don't see too many brothers publishing books, especially books on the stock market or, you know, how to navigate in that world. But and I saw that you had put that together. How was that process of putting together the book, and what have you noticed from it in terms of like people who bought it?
Yeah, so I was inspired to write the book or even start teaching stocks, period, because, you know, like you mentioned, many of us, this is foreign, and I didn't like every time I bring up stocks, I'm the only person who knows anything about it, and they, oh no, that's for rich people, that's the Illuminati, that's for white people, that's a scam, I lost all my money in the 2008
book. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And my cousin Day Day, he lost all his money.
You know?
Day Day and them.
And I'm like, no, actually, the stock market has been the number one performing asset class in recent recorded human history. I seen two separate statistics that stuck out to me, which I was like, I need to teach this. Number one was, if you take a Black family and a white family who make the exact same amount of income, let's just say they make $100,000 a year, on average, that white family will be worth over $132,000 more than the Black family, despite them making the same money. And then I seen another statistic that said that white people are much more likely to invest in the stock market than Black people. Because if you're making the same money, it's some decision that you're making with the money as to why this person's net worth is higher than yours. Y'all get the same amount. What's the difference? Now, I'm not saying stocks is the only thing, but it's a factor. And then I was with my mom, and she said something was in the Bible that says something about, basically, if you have knowledge that can help people and you don't share it, then that's a sin. You hoard information that can help the people. So that's when I put the book together, because when I would start talking about it, they'd be like, yo, you got a book or something? And I don't even like to read. I like to learn, so I read because that's the way to learn, but I don't like reading. It's because of that, I really don't like writing too much either. So I was like, I'm gonna put the book together, but it's gonna be an easy read. I don't want people to fall asleep trying to learn it. So I basically just put everything that people needed to know. I tried to keep it simple. I still tried to have some stories in there, because we learn by, it really gets embedded in our personality if we learn by way of story as opposed to just data. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I shared some stories in there. I gave everything people needed to know for now. I put the for now, because, you know, game is always changing. Nothing ever stays the same. But I've tried to put as much static information as I could in there to help people. And in the reviews I was getting, and to see people become worth six figures that they thought whenever that was a foreign idea to them, and they said that my book played a part in that inspiration or something they learned from my book that was a part of that, like that was huge to me. Like, yo, because you know, we, for you know, black people, we lead in poverty, we lead in diseases. So for me to little old me to do anything to help those statistics get back in our favor, that was a big deal to me. Just seeing, I remember the first thing I seen, somebody, like, they made like 17 bands or something like that. It's like the first thing I seen, I'm like, yo, she's accrediting me for that, like the black community $17,000 richer because little old me. So yeah,
nah, that's a beautiful thought, and that's, you know, I think this generation needs more and more of that, because I'm not gonna lie, like, a lot of what you see in the black community is backwards, and you see these other communities like the Asian community taking off, you know, Indian community taking off, restaurants, gas, you know, just everybody's taking off. And you think about where we came from, and you know, Africa being rich with gold and diamonds and, you know, pyramids and, you know, sarcophagi, like this, like the best ornaments, and like, look at the pyramid, you know, like, yeah, I say more. And then you see us here in America, and then it's like, man, like, dang, what happened? But you know, on the brighter side, you know, black women are like the fastest growing group of like entrepreneurs. You know, I've seen them all on Instagram exploding with, you know, businesses, digital coaches, products, services, e-commerce. So, you know, it's awesome really to be a part of this generation, because, and I think they said it too, this is the biggest transfer in wealth, this generation right here. And it makes sense now, because you've seen a lot of the money being redistributed. It's so easy that the barrier to entry for business, you can open up a Shopify store. You know, I actually own a digital marketing agency here in Baltimore, Maryland. And, you know, we work with, you know, a lot of different clients and, you know, coaches and things of that nature. And to see how people are transforming their lives just with an idea. You know, like, literally, you just monetizing an idea, and you're changing your kids' future. And, you know, I wanted to talk about future. You know, you also have another thing that's interesting, and we'll get back to the stock market, but vegan. You know, you said you're a vegan, and it's kind of crazy, man, because I'm a vegan too as well. You know, I, some time ago, you know, after my whole, you know, stint with jail, and I was like, man, I don't want to put anything in my body that I feel like is going to bring violence, or like, I don't want no negative energy in me. And I felt like, you know, I was seeing, you know, people talking about like how meat and like how they kill the meat and all kinds of stuff it does to your spirit and your aura and your energy. So I was like, you know what, let me just, and that's really when I started seeing a lot of explosion in terms of like, boom, you know, like staying out of jail and, you know, starting a digital marketing agency. We got six staff right now, and just, you know, just trying to better my life and trying to learn and grow and, you know, take advantage of this opportunity. But talk to us about, man, your vegan journey and like what led you into it. One thing I think everybody's interested in hearing, they always want to hear is like, so now that you're vegan, what's going on? Are you Superman now? Like, you flying now? Like, so talk to us about that.
So first of all, I just want to say, years prior, if you would have asked, you know, Blackamore, I wouldn't even call myself Blackamore then, but I'll call it Black Jack because I used to do music. If you would have told Black Jack 10, 15 years ago that you was going to be vegan, I'd have told you he was out your goddamn mind. But, so, 2017, I got my blood pressure checked, and it was high as hell. I'm trying to tell the condensed story of it, because my brothers and them dad, he had a stroke, right? And I seen him as somebody who was, he was real sharp, you know what I'm saying? He was smart, he was real sharp with it. And when he had a stroke, he was a shell of himself. So when I seen that happen, one of my biggest fears was, yo, I don't ever want to lose my mind. I don't ever want to be a shell of myself. And, you know, because in my mind, he was healthy. He would drink, he still ate BS, but I didn't know what healthy was at that point in time. But he would drink fruit smoothies, and he would go run for a few miles a few times a week. In my mind, he's healthy as hell. So to see him have that stroke, and then see him be a shell of himself. So then we fast forward to 2017 when I found out I had high blood pressure. And then my mom was like, dang, 170-something over 100-something, that's stroke territory. So she said strokes. Oh, I was traumatized. And yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
So I got this high blood, and I was like 90 pounds heavier too. So I was big, I had high blood pressure. I had high cholesterol since I was like 19, though. This is before I put on weight. So this wasn't just a weight thing. This was something else going on.
And everything.
Yeah, and I was pre-diabetic. Both my mom and my dad both got type 2 diabetes. And my dad has high blood pressure. So when I learned about my high blood pressure, and I already knew the other things that was going on. Of course, I'm taught, you know, go to the hospital, get your medication. It's hereditary. There's nothing you can do. Yada, yada, yada. I don't like hospitals. I don't like doctors. I don't like employers. So I say, yo, okay, I'm not about to be on medicine the rest of my life. Because I've seen everybody else with blood pressure. And they take blood pressure medicine. And they die taking blood pressure medicine because blood pressure never gets fixed. I see people take their insulin, their diabetes and all that, and it never gets fixed. So I'd rather just bet on myself. So that's when I started studying for my life. It's the same study habits I applied when I started learning the stock market. Because when I studied in the stock market, I said, I have to learn this or I'm going to end up under a bridge because I didn't already bet on myself to not work and all of that. So it's either learn or live under a bridge. So now it's either learn or die and have a stroke. So I get to studying. And reality setting in that, you know, taking my biases out of it, because I love some Wingstop, I love nachos.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know there's got to be a better way. Let's do the keto. Let's try that. Let's do that. And as a matter of fact, when I did keto for a little bit, and that made things worse. My blood pressure was so high. This may be TMI, but like I would, you know, do with your woman, and after it was over, I would have the craziest headache of my life to the point where I ain't want to do what I do with my woman no more. I said, hold on. I'm not going to be in a position where I can't have sex no more. Now, we got to figure this out.
That ain't it. That ain't it.
Right. So, I remember I started learning about doctors. My cousins, I mentioned Dr. Sabi to me. So, I kind of started studying him.
Man, talk about it, man. Talk about it. You over here, you dropping these. Why can't you drop the set, man? Talk about it.
You know what I'm saying? So
I'm getting excited over here, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I get into Dr. Sabi. I'm studying a whole bunch of different things, and I'm studying fair, you know, because one thing I learned about with stocks, you can't come in biased. You got to be open minded. That's the only thing that could have led me to being in Virginia. Because if I was biased, you're not going to get me to give up Wingstop. I'm sorry, but apparently that happened because I was open minded. So I learned about Dr. Sabi and all these different, Dr. Michael, what's his name? Dr. Michael Gregor, McGregor, I think. Different doctors, different studies.
Gregory, yeah.
How do these studies come to be? How do I know this study means something, but this study doesn't? And basically, I came to the conclusion that, no chemicals, no animal products, and no oil. That's the best way to go. And then the day I found out that I had high blood pressure, I coincidentally was about to start a 3-day fast, but this was just to lose weight. I was struggling with my weight for years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to no avail. So I did the 3-day fast, and that was April. I started the fast April 12th of 2017. April 15th, I came off the fast, and that's when I guess was officially a vegan because I stopped eating. I started eating that day, but not eating animal products. And I didn't expect for my blood pressure to come down for some years because one thing I kept reading is, you know, it took you years to get to this point. It's going to take you years to come back. So I had a family reunion that summer. And I would weigh myself, but I wouldn't check my blood pressure. I didn't want to see it. I'm like, y'all feeling good. Weight's coming down, you know, so that's good. I'd roll with that if I don't get nothing else. I just happened to check my blood pressure the day before my flight, and my shit had dropped 50 points. It was basically normal. It was like in the high one, the low 130s, but it was in the 170s, 180s. I said, damn, it's only been 2 months. I ain't take a nanogram or no medication, none of that. I'm like, yo, hold on, let me check this again. I go about my day, I do it again, and it's consistently the same. I said, yo, I done fucked around and healed myself. This is crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. Yeah, so, and
yeah, so so first of all, to even do that, that did something to me psychologically, because now I done two things. Now I done figured my stock shit out, now I got my health right. I went 3 days without eating anything. There's nothing I can't do on planet Earth now. So that's doing that to my mind. It's not my confidence. It's crazy. And then what really got me because when I go to the family reunion, I'm around dog. It's kind of easy up here because I can kind of control my environment a little bit more. But now I'm around my family. Now there's fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, all these foods that I miss. And not, it didn't faze me. I didn't care. They're like, oh, baby, you don't want nothing to eat? I'm like, no, I'm cool. I'm all
right. I want some of the soul food right here with the collard greens and the cornbread and, you know, mama's with special fried chicken.
I just wasn't tripping. And then I you know, I started doing more studying and meditating and just studying like how it affects your brain and all of that. I said, this is deeper than nutrition at this point. To me, it's spiritual. So like, if I just want to take a 100% nutrition approach, I could argue my way back into eating meat and stuff here and there, but it's on another level with it. So it's more of a spiritual reason more than anything. And I didn't have empathy like that until this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can remember the last time I had cried was when my grandma died, and I was like in 7th or 8th grade. I didn't shed my first tear again until later on into my veganism journey. Didn't feel no feelings or nothing like. And now it's a little bit too crazy because I feel everything now, and that's kind of what keeps me going. That's why I study so hard. That's why I go so hard. Cause, you know what I'm saying, to help people.
Man, and I feel like when we ask this question, we're about to get bombs, but I'm about to ask you like what kind of books you read and things like that. I'm really interested. And to that point that you were talking about, like the empathy and not feeling things and it being spiritual, that's the truth too as well. Because I feel like when you eat the body of these animals and things like that, you kind of bring your vibrational energy down a little bit. I mean, like your frequencies and stuff like that, because after all, you are putting dead matter into your body. And I don't want to say like that, like something disgusting or something like that to people, because if you're eating meat, by all means, we'll eat your meat. Because, you know, some people, you can never, ever, ever try and convince not to eat meat. Not with the Popeye spicy chicken sandwich being $3.99. You know what I'm saying? Like, you finna die first before they, you know, stop eating meat. But you're right, like, and I haven't even really dived into Dr. Sebi, but I think the black community knows that he was on a something. You know what I'm saying? Like, he kind of was like a thought leader. He kind of spearheaded. He was like 82 jumping on tables with his knees. And like, he was just like quick and still teaching and like solid.
And still having babies. Any man who could have babies past the age of 70, 80 years old, just listen to what he has to say.
Oh, man. That's definitely true. And, you know, I think, was it Alkaline Diet or something like that?
So, yeah, so what he teaches, so this be my gripe with people, man. So I don't 100% agree with everything he said, right? But at the same time, I'm not a doctor either. I ain't healed people like he's healed people. I healed a few, but not like on his level. So like one of the main things people attack him for is, you know, the body needs some type of mucus. You can't be out here with no mucus in your body. He don't know what he was talking about, which is true, right? But my thing is this. I don't never hear Negroes go in on Dr. Atkins. Are you familiar with Dr. Atkins? Remember the Atkins diet?
Yep, I remember the Dr. Atkins, yep.
Cars that are just a bunch of meat or whatever. I never hear people complain about Dr. Atkins, who's dead, by the way. I'm not trying to disrespect him because he's gone. But he did die, and it's rumored that it was because of health complications. He had a heart attack, fell out, hit his head, bled to death. I don't know how true that is. But he did have cholesterol issues, which is what the Atkins diet would put you on. You know what else the Atkins diet does? Is it actually makes you mucus deficient. So what Dr. Sebi taught, which is you don't, which is that you want zero mucus in the body, which if you have zero mucus in the body, that's actually a problem. The Atkins diet in practice actually does that, and you get sick. But with Dr. Sebi's diet, you have the proper balance of mucus that you're supposed to have along with everything else. So it's crazy when I hear, I be feeling the way sometimes, when I hear people disrespect Dr. Sebi in that way, like, and they don't be happy, and they be obese, they be going through their own things. Like, you ain't even in position to try to criticize what this man was teaching them, none of that. And you didn't say nothing while he was alive. Yo,
it's bad.
I felt the way so much. I did a Google search just because when you go on Google, you can set the time frame of when results pop up. Like, I could type in, I only want to see search results from the year 2016 or something like that.
Yep.
You don't see Dr. Sebi hate when he was alive. It's not till after he died, then you see a plethora of negative reviews and negative remarks about the man. I find that interesting.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times when people die and they had a little bit of fame or like they were somewhat known, that fame, it like tenfolds, it explodes. So now you have a lot of people that can give opinions on it, people that are not educated, people that are ignorant, and a lot of times people that are negative and they don't want to change. And his message was about change. Mm-hmm. So that goes against their very being. So in order for them to remain where they're at, they got to criticize that to make them feel comfortable about themselves. But man, like, I definitely, because there's so many things about like herbs and like what kind of plants to eat and like certain foods that, you know, and they won't teach you this stuff in school. They teach you like, what's it, the food pyramid, you know, like whatever, but they don't really break down like you are what you eat.
Yeah.
And I forgot there was this one philosopher, like, your food should be your fuel.
Yeah.
It should be like your medicine. Like, it can actually, like, you can actually take certain kinds of food that will like help increase your energy and output throughout the entire day, week, month, and like your life too as well. And that's why sometimes certain people watch what they eat, and like when they walk into a room, you know, when they, you know, they just draw more positive situations to themselves, and they're able to have like a more positive outcome in life versus people, like, especially here in America with this additives and the sodium hydrolyte and the McDonald's and the Taco Bell. Like, these big companies have these huge factories just pumping out chemicals. They don't care about you. It's how cheap can we get all this stuff,
right,
and we can produce a product and sell that product for $5, get as much as we can. It costs us 20 cents to make this. We sold it for $3.99.
Exactly. Yeah, and even to take it a step further, I may even lose some people with this, but like you said, when you watch what you eat, you notice sometimes things may work either for you or against you depending on what you're eating. Maybe I can't call it an absolute fact, but I'll say this. We are, 90% of our cells is actual bacteria, only 10% human cells. We're more bacteria than we are humans. And the bacteria in you, they have a life of their own. Some things they do happen to benefit you. Some things they do happen to spite you. We want to feed the cells and the bacteria that's going to happen to benefit us. Now, so like if bacteria could talk, the bacteria in the diabetes disease body will have a problem with me because I fight against that type of shit, right? I tell you, stop and all of that. And even the gases and all that it emit, it makes a microbial cloud. That's something that you will call an aura. You know what I'm saying? So you walk into certain rooms with people, you, for some reason, you feel like the vibe is off. That's why, like, it probably happened to you too. You sit down, you don't say nothing. It'd be like, nobody, person who eats meat. Sometimes I do, they feel like defend themselves, or why you ain't doing this? Like, yo, I'm just chilling. I ain't even saying nothing. It's just—
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So this shit gets, that's why I say this shit's deeper than nutrition, man.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting, and if you look like these last couple of decades, these big corporations kind of like didn't allow any truth to shine through. Like, you think about the tobacco, the food, like, they kept everything suppressed, all the knowledge and truth and enlightenment. They kept it down because they needed to make as much profit as possible. But now you got social media, YouTube, Instagram, and, you know, I think that, what's her name, Alkaline Mommy and Surviving Vegan, and there's a whole bunch of them out there, and, you know, they're doing the heavy research, and, you know, they're bringing the light to the people. And, you know, sometimes the food you eat is what's keeping you from being successful in life.
Right.
Like, it's a simple truth. Like, it's causing, your body came from an ancestral line. It came from people who ate these beans, and, you know, they were strengthened by, you know, the legumes and peas and, you know, grain and all kinds of corns and stuff like that. And here you are eating Taco Bell with the sodium, and you wondering, you know, why your career isn't taking off. And and certain foods dumb you down. Like, if you know, like, you ever like eat like some bit, like turkey or some food, and you get the eye and goes off, and, you know.
Yeah, man. The fact, because it does affect how you think, because how you think is determined from whatever hormonal balance and neurotransmitters is popping off in your body at the time. And serotonin, which they call the feel-good hormone, I call it the self-esteem hormone, most of that is made in your gut. And what's going to affect your most is what you eat. As a matter of fact, a lot of our decisions come from our gut, because we have a brain there. It has hundreds of millions of neurons down there. It's one in your gut, your heart, and your brain. They all communicate. Most of that information travels upward, not downward. So if your gut talking to the heart, and in the heart, talking to your brain to process the shit. It's not downward, it's upward. So you gotta be careful what you're putting in there. You feeding that information, like how you said, putting that dead matter in there. Like, these animals will get killed. Before you get killed, you're probably gonna fear stress and anxiety. All those hormones are gonna secrete. And that's in their cholesterol. You're eating that animal cholesterol. Cholesterol is where your hormones is produced from. Now you're taking that in your body. Now you wonder why anxiety is one of the, seem like it's an epidemic these days. Everybody's depressed. Mm-hmm. I wonder the hell. Right.
Yep. And I think it's interesting that you said that people are depressed and anxiety, and it's like a cloud of, like, you know, confusion is over them. And it's sometimes as simple as drink some fruit, some smoothies. Get some bananas in you, like, yeah. Those foods is actually not bad. But one thing too as well is, like, those foods that are processed, they pick certain chemicals in it to coat your tongue into, like, sodium, yeah. And it's highly addictive. And I'm not gonna lie, man, I want the Chick-fil-A fries, and I want the, you know, like, sometimes I won't eat the meat, but I'll be like, man, like, give me them fries, you know, like, let me snatch that up. But you know, going to that question I was referring to earlier, because it was like, man, you're like a mountain of knowledge and information. What are some of the books that you're reading right now, that you read in the past, that you recommend the listeners listen to or read?
All right, so depending on which way you want to go, like, if we want to talk about books outside of, if you want to talk about stocks, let's see, we're getting stocks outside of my own book, I tell people to get The Little Book That Beats the Market. It's by Joel. Mm. Okay, that book, I feel like it's relatively simple, because it has a very simple formula that he used to determine if a business is good or not. And I've actually taken that formula, and I think I took it to the next step. So I'm just waiting. I'm gonna introduce it to the world later on. But that's a cool book. One Up on Wall Street. I can't remember the name of none of his books, but it's an investor named Ken Fisher. He has quite a few books. Check them out on the stock tip. On the health tip, first of all, to get people to take their health serious, I would say start with medical apartheid. And it's not even necessary. This will just make you conscious to where maybe you'll realize the hospitals may not be your friend like that. You got to take your health into your own. You understand what I'm saying? Now, as far as just on the health tip, I like Dr. Laila Africa. I read all of his books. McGregor. But he's cool. But try to read everything, man. And read both sides too. Because what you read, because both sides are going to be biased, right? There's some things in the vegan books that's going to be like, sounds good if you're a vegan. That probably was some bullshit. Read both sides. And then that's the facts. When you see both sides agree on something, especially if this side agree with this side, even though it's not to the favor of that side, it must be the truth. So anyway, yeah, study Dr. Greger. Read the medical apartheid book. That's like a must read. A more recent book on a financial tip in general, to make sure that you are conscious of how you're dealing with your money and understand where we're at as Black people economically, is The Color of Money. Medical apartheid and The Color of Money, those are probably my two favorite books. I read those books over and over again just to stay on point. It's another book.
The Medical Apartheid and The Color of Money, man. I got my reading list set.
You Are the Placebo is a good book. That book talks about, it's how strong the mind is, like, even like with health and all of that. Like, one of the parts in the book that got me, they did a study on these workers to work in the building, right? And so these building, they was like cleaners. So, and there was a lot of steps they had to walk up and down and all that, right? But they were still overweight. All the people did, like some doctors and them, they came to them, they said they was doing this study, and they told them that, you know, walking up and down these stairs, this is good for weight loss. You lose some weight this way. It's good that you had this job. It wasn't until after they told them that, they started losing weight. They didn't do any more exercise. They was doing the same job they've been doing for years. But just the fact that that was in their brain and they believed it, now weight starts coming off, but they made no other changes, just the change in their belief. That's the only thing that changed. So that book is real. That's a good book to remind you how powerful the mind is, because it all starts in the mind. Everything, disease and healing the disease, both start in the mind.
Man, you over here dropping bombs, man. You came ready today. You was like, hold on, I got the cap with the muscled up with the man. Jeez. Okay. Awesome, man. I'm loving this, man, because I remember back in the days, I did not see anything like this at all. And I'm not gonna lie, it's not like I was looking for it, but back then it was all 50 Cent, rap, hip hop. That was basically it. Leaf drama, who killed who, and you know, who shot who and, you know, who's beefing against who. But I'm loving it more, man, because them people already rich. They good to go. It's right. Us that we gotta, you know, level up and keep going. But man, another thing, you know, while we reaching the end, you know, I'm excited, man. I feel like part of my life has changed just listening to this message from you, and I know like the listeners too as well. They're picking up a lot of gems. But I see that you have your link tree, your Instagram bio, and then your Freedom Over Failure Academy, and you have courses in there such as like how to build wealth and everything you need to know about stocks, and that's like $19 a month. And talk about your Freedom Over Failure Academy.
Yeah, Freedom Over Failure Academy. So like I said, it's for everybody, but you know, since I look like me, I expect people who look like me to flock to it first because we need it the most. Because people who look like me tend to lead in diseases, we tend to die from them the fastest, and we lead in poverty. So I'm big on teaching money and on teaching health. So these are the type of information you're gonna find in this academy. The How to Build Wealth course, that's basically a basic version of the stock market course. People may not wanna, because that $19 a month option you talked about, it's either that or you can pay $550 up front. People may not wanna make a monthly commitment or come out of pocket that much, but I still wanted to give people more than enough information for a much cheaper price. So that's the How to Build Wealth course when we talk about stocks in general, finance things. And then the $19 a month option, the Everything You Know About Stocks course, we go in way deeper, and I'll always hit you with new stock ideas. You know, I just give it for right now. A while ago, I talked about a stock called Freedom Holding, which is basically an overseas version of Robinhood. It's already doubled since I talked about it. I told people if they were going to play GameStop, to buy put options, which is the option. Oh, man, we didn't even get into options. But basically betting on the stock to go down, but the option version, as we've seen happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I give you ideas in real time so we can practice the information in real time, because sometimes people will read the information, but they'll still be intimidated to actually go out and do it. So kind of more of a try to hold your hand along the way type thing. I have the, I believe I call it the Monopoly course, which is not actually ready yet. You can pre-order it. And that one, I plan to talk about money in general, like how to protect your wealth, how to utilize trust, how to when to make an LLC or a corporation, or maybe you should only do a sole proprietor in this situation, building credit, all of that. It's like an overall general how to build and protect your wealth type of course. You can get meal plans off of there. I have my books available on there. If you get in the course, the books automatically come with the course. I have a nutritional wellness course where we kind of go in a little bit deeper on the health and how to, you know, the protein things. You know, we talk about vegans, where do we get the protein from and how that's bullshit anyway, and what minerals you need for this and that. You know, just going deep on health and finances in a nutshell. So going there, man, invest in yourself.
Exactly. Invest in yourself, especially if you're out there and you don't know anything, because a lot of people, especially the people, you know, our community, they sit in the shadows and they don't know anything about anything that's going on. They heard about it and they was like, well, I thought about it, but they never take no action on it. And this is somebody, Blackamore, who's been taking action on this for decades. So now that's definitely that pinnacle in that getting in league with you, for sure. So, man, this is basically the end, man. You know, I wish there was like another hour or something. We're going to have to do something in the future, bring you back for part two and get a little bit into other details such as options or, you know, mindset and entrepreneurship. But is there anything that you want to throw out there at the end?
Oh, a cheaper option than that. Maybe you don't want to get lost in the academy. If all else fails, you can follow my OnlyFans, $7 a month. You know what I'm saying? And the only reason, honestly, the only reason why I make people pay sometimes is because you do what you pay for. You know, you get it for free.
That's right.
You know, so just quick little $7 a month. I put everything on, like a post I got on OnlyFans to teach you how to get your inquiries off and all that. Because I don't really teach too much credit on the Instagram and all that. So if nothing else, get on the OnlyFans. Or if nothing else, just go on my YouTube and utilize this for free. There's no way that you could listen and apply what I say and an improvement doesn't happen in your life. I try to give you something tangible every time. Well, the stocks, free cash flow, that's the most important metric. I probably didn't get a chance to mention it. Just Google that right quick. That's enough to, that's an alley. I'll let y'all dunk it. Free cash flow and stocks. If you want to know what to invest in, study what that is and figure out why that's important, because we don't have time to get into it right now. But this is something else to give you on the way out. And if nothing else, you know what I'm saying, just get lost on the YouTube, get lost in the academy, get lost in my OnlyFans. Just find somewhere and just get lost and absorb it all in. And I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Let's get it. All right, my mastermind is till next time.
Hey, I appreciate you for listening to the Mastermind Your Life podcast. Again, don't forget to follow me on Instagram, TOLU.OWOYEMI, and blow up my inbox, man. I need to hear your suggestions, feedback, people I need to interview next, topics I need to cover. Again, I appreciate all y'all. And while you're at it, you might as well go to Apple and drop that review. Let's get it.